Okay, are you ready?
Happy Lag B'Omer. What's the expression?
Yeah.
Lag B'Omer Sameach. Whatever. Okay. Okay. So the first thing is, and I want to actually also bring out with the point number one here, yeah, a point that I didn't feel I myself fully kind of chopped in terms of the drasha, yeah.
Thank you.
So basically, what the Gemara here says is, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to just read inside. Okay. So Tana Rabbanan, yeah, the Brisa. Baruch Amakam Fikis Mitzvah Al Moshe Rabbeinu. Kol Yisrael Kulam Nisasuk B'Biza V'Hu Nisasek B'Mitzvahs. Yeah. So look how dear mitzvahs were to Moshe Rabbeinu, because all of Kol Yisrael, they were kind of occupied with the biza. And Moshe Rabbeinu was kind of involved with mitzvahs, yeah? Shneimar, as it says, Hacham Lev Yikach Mitzvahs, yeah? Someone who's wise of heart is going to take mitzvahs. Now, I think actually what's kind of quite important here, and this is something I'm going to try to bring out, is if you look at the pasuk here, Hacham Lev Yikach Mitzvahs, I think it's very important that one sees the whole pasuk, yeah? Because there's also an allusion here, because it says V'Gomer. Very often when the Gemara brings a pasuk, it says V'Gomer, there's something also in the continuation of the pasuk that we need to see.
Yeah, that is usually.
Right.
And even people put a gerse on it. You know, sometimes you'll have the people who change the gerses or whatever, put a gomer in or take one out.
Exactly. So gomer is kind of a sign that you know, you're meant to see the continuation of the pasuk. So I wanted to read the whole pasuk inside, yeah?
Yeah.
And then we're going to get to number one. So it says, Hacham Lev, this is the pasuk for Mishlei, yeah? Hacham Lev Yikach Mitzvahs, yeah? Someone who's wise of heart will take mitzvahs. The evil svasaim yilaveit. Yeah. Whereas the fool will kind of just, you know, be involved with their lips, with their chatting. Yeah. Like gossiping or like speaking away. Yeah. Not, you know. So basically, there's a contrast being made here between someone who's hacham leiv and someone who's a kind of like a fool and something to do with just blabbering away with their lips. Yeah. So. Okay, let's just put that aside just a second, yeah? So the question that I wanted to ask here, right, was that surely, you know, what's going on here? Why? How are we praising Moshe Rabbeinu? So the answer is that we're contrasting Moshe Rabbeinu with Klal Yisrael, right? Klal Yisrael were busy with the biza, right, with the plunder, right? And in that time, Moshe Rabbeinu was, you know, going and occupying himself in mitzvahs. Now, what exact point of time are we talking about? I think the answer is, yeah, and we see from the continuation, we're talking about while they're still in Egypt, right?
Yeah,
how do I know that?
Yeah.
Obviously, I mean, it's obvious, yeah? Because Moshe Rabbeinu was, you know, was had to go to the Nile, and he was...
Right.
So what biza are we talking about? We're talking about the fact that they had to, you know, all the Jews were going to their neighbors, yeah, as we know the pasuk says, and asking, saying, oh, could I please borrow whatever, Now,
exactly.
You see where I'm going, yeah?
So the obvious
question is, Klal Yisrael were told, yeah, to go to their neighbors and to ask for the Canaan. That was, in fact, you know, we said that there's a lush there, right? Please, yeah? When, you know, when Hashem is talking to Moshe Rabbeinu. And the background is, the Midrash says that you know, Hashem had promised Avraham Avinu that, you know, your children would go out b'chush gadol, with great wealth, yeah? So therefore, he was trying to persuade Klal Yisrael, please go and ask your neighbors for things, because I have to fulfill the promise that I gave to Avraham Avinu, yeah? So the question here is, you know, why are we kind of criticizing Klal Yisrael? Surely they were also involved in a mitzvah, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of the question to deal with.
Yeah.
So now the Eitz Yosef, yeah, he deals with that. Let's have a look at this number one, yeah? Mm-hmm. So the Yesh Lomar, Sha'asu Yosef Minat Sivui, yeah? The reason why they're being criticized here is because they went overboard. They did more than the command. Sha'akadosh Baruch Hu Ratza, Sheyatzu B'chush Gadol. Because, as we said, Hashem did want that they should go out with great wealth, yeah. Skipping here a bit. Avalheim hosifu, but they carried on. Ad she'asu Mitzrayim kimtzula, right? I think we've seen this elsewhere, yeah. Was it in Sota? I can't remember where we saw. There's a number of midrashim that darshan the fact that Egypt was left literally as a kind of as name. I think we saw in Beitza. That's maybe why. Maybe Beitza. It was left like a kind of like an empty trap, yeah? Which like even the bait had been like taken away. It was like mamish like completely empty, yeah? So it was way overboard, yeah? So it, now he quotes now the continuation of the pasuk. Va'avils v'saim yelabet. Yeah. What does that mean? Shehem lakhu hakol derech sheila. Because what does it mean? They were speaking all the time because they were all asking. Oh please, you know, can I have that? Oh no, can I have that as well? Oh no, I saw that. You wouldn't be able to lend me this, yeah? Bechuli, right? Im kain his lab to siposehem, right? Their kind of lips were chattering, yeah. The vakesh, right? In order to request the hashilam, yeah. Mashalotzi for Hakadosh Baruch Hu. They went well overboard. Right. They were just meant to say, oh, you know, could you please, you know, give me something, yeah. And they would have got something in, I'm sure, some nice gold, silver, and rachush gadol, and out they were meant to go. And instead, once you know things started, oh yeah, but you know, could you also? What about that? And what about? And they were engaging in chatter, yeah. And that's then the pshat in the pasuk, yeah. The contrast between the chattering klaiser who went over the top, yeah. And Moshe Rabbeinu, yeah, who was Hacham Lev and spent that time instead of kind of negotiating and you know and chattering with the Egyptians, yeah, spent his time going and trying to get the bones of Yosef and his bones, his coffin, out of Mitzrayim. That's the mitzvah he's doing.
Right.
Okay, so that's number one.
I have a question about the page, just tangentially. I thought the Mitzrayim were poor because they eventually ended up giving all the wealth by bread. So where did they have gold and silver, power, and everything.
Right.
Yeah.
It was hidden, wasn't it, in the walls?
No,
it wasn't
well
hidden. In the darkness, in the plague of darkness, they found the treasures in the walls of the houses.
I mean, that's one of the medrashim, but I suppose what Gil was asking is even how did they have it at that stage? Yeah. I don't know. Question. I don't know the. Okay. So question number two, right? So again. Like just to fill in terms of the story, you know, the Gemara is a beautiful flow, but the next part is we talked about how Moshe Rabbeinu went and how he got out the coffin, yeah? And when it was sunk in the Nile, right? Because the coffin was made of like this metal, yeah? Barzel, and it sunk, yeah? So Moshe Rabbeinu managed to get it to float to the top, yeah? And we say, wow, like, you know, an amazing miracle, yeah? And, you know, have you seen, you know, the precedent for this kind of miracle, yeah? And we say, yeah, you know, because, you know, we see that prophets are able to do this kind of thing, yeah? And we have a whole story of Elisha, so on and so forth. So the question here is, yeah, why does the Gemara say, for artist Dama Heich Barzel Saf? Don't be amazed. How could it be possible that Barzel could float? How could Moshe Rabbeinu do that? Yeah, kind of thing, yeah? Like, the obvious question is, well, Moshe Rabbeinu did, you know, 10 markers, yeah? This was like child's play, right? Compared to, like, you know, having... you know, whatever it is, wild animals all of a sudden, and locust, and fiery hail, and everything like that. So just kind of getting like a coffin to float to the surface is kind of like, you know, getting the whole Nile, all the waters to change into blood. Like, you know, it's obvious kind of question, yeah? So the Marashah deals with this, yeah? So he says the following, this is number two, right? Nisei Hashem Rabim Haim, yeah? The miracles of Hashem, they're many, right? Yichud Gabi Moshe, and especially in relation to Moshe, Shemufurash Hayu Hanisim Buritzono, right? Yisbarach, right? Aliyde Tzibuyav, yeah? Kamosh Katu Yud Ma Hamakus, Bukis Yamsuf, yeah? So as we know, Moshe Rabbeinu did huge amounts of miracles, the 10 plagues, Kiris Yamsuf. Our Zehanes, yeah? But this miracle, Shabal Tzasaf, Lohayabo Tzibuyav, Shal Kaddish Baruch Hu. So what's being amazed, what kind of the Gemara is bringing out here is Hashem never commanded anything. This was just Moshe Rabbeinu going off his own initiative without any commandment. He wasn't kind of doing it, so to speak, directly on behalf of Hashem, so to speak, yeah? Kenira, right, min yanenu. Val kochach ama, right, afar pikein, al tisame bo. Right, so even though he hadn't got any command from Hashem, nothing, Hashem didn't say anything, but still don't be amazed, yeah, right? Do me a little Elisha, to Mamaisa Ba'alma, right? And Elisha also just stumbled on his own initiative, so to speak, yeah? Hishlicha Eitz Alamayim, he just chucked, you know, Eitz into the water, and Safa Barazel Benes, yeah? Or Kamosh Katav, yeah? Ritzon Yireav Yase, right? I.e., right, what we're trying to say is that the holy people, yeah, they can do things, right, without even Hashem telling them, right? And Hashem will, so to speak, just perform miracles, that they have that intrinsic power. They don't have to be doing it kind of because of a prophecy or nevuah or a command from Hashem. And that's kind of what we're bringing out from this story. You know, Moshe Rabbeinu, just a stump action that he would do, you know, he would come to the Nile and say, oh, where's, you know, there's only this, where's Moshe's coffin? And it would just float to the surface. And that's the kind of amazing thing being brought out from this. Hi, Ari. Okay, right. Now, this is a question... I think it was Ephraim asked this next question, okay. Yeah? Do you remember? Yeah, I want to get it right. So it says b'chol osin shanim, right? The Gemara says ha'yushtei aronus. Yeah, it kind of we focus on the Aaron of Yosef coming out from Egypt. Yeah, and then it carries on and says, you know, and all those years we had like these two Aarons, like we had the Aaron with the luchus and the Aaron with the bones of Yosef. Yeah, and kind of that's what we're talking about. So I think Ephraim said, yeah, wait a sec, like what's so special about that, like? Don't we know that there were all the Shvatim?
It really says that two that were going together.
Ah, okay. Okay, well that's the beginning.
That really, they're going together, but it doesn't say about the rest. So we could just say that they're just meant to each
other. Ah, and basically that's kind of the beginning of the answer, yeah. That's right, yeah. So, okay, well that's basically kind of along those lines, yeah? So let's see the Marashah, right? So he also, a lot of this Marashah, he addresses kind of a lot of these issues that I thought were worth bringing out. So the Maharsha says, this is number three, yeah? Kavar kasaf nula el, right? We've already written above. The gam shah aronis shal shvatim hayusham, right? Imahem, right? Bemidbar. We saw that beforehand, yeah? A few daf ago, right? And ella shlo hayu b'machane shechina. And this is kind of what Gil was pointing out. The difference was, here we're talking about the fact that the Aaron was with the Aaron of the Mishkan, yeah, in the Machane Shechina, where you know that right at the center, yeah, where the Mishkan was. Masha'ein kein Aronu Shel Yosef, right? So the other ones were not there. Masha'ein kein Aronu Shel Yosef that was there, yeah. Shaloni Sasekbo Ela Moshe, and that, well, the reason is because the Moshe Rabbeinu was involved with that, right? Shahaya b'macha Leviya, right? And therefore the Aaron of Yosef was with Moshe Rabbeinu, yeah. And that was in the Machane of Leviya. That's in the right, in the center. Karav leMachane Shechina, right? K'damin al Kaman, Perik Hayanotel, Ayin Sham, B'kal LaHavin. Which is, I think, basically, if I remember correctly, Rabbi, I think that's what you answered.
I think so. Right. Yeah, exactly.
Which was, yeah, of course they were there, but Moshe Rabbeinu, because he took particular charge of the one of Yosef, yeah. So that's why. And then people asked, what about Levi's one? Which is a great question. Question on the Marasha, post on the Marasha. But anyway, but that's the point, yeah? So yes, they were there, but I guess each tribe looked after their own Shevet, maybe, or I'm not sure, they were kept outside. Mm-hmm. But Moshe Rabbeinu, because he looked, and he was right in the center, because he looked after Yosef's ones, that was the one which went in basically together in the Mikdash, together with the Aaron of the Luchos, yeah? Okay, number four, right? Now this is actually kind of, I hadn't thought of this question, I was annoyed myself. There was something about the flow of the Gemara which I felt like a bit uncomfortable with, and this really brought it out, yeah? Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of going to speak out outside a little bit, yeah? That basically what we say is, at the beginning, as we said, we kind of praise Moshe Rabbeinu for dealing with the Yosef, yeah? And well, Klal Yisrael didn't do it, yeah? And then later on, basically, yeah, we say, wait a sec, yeah, it talks about Klal Yisrael bringing him out, yeah, from Egypt, yeah, and basically what we kind of end up saying is, well, because Moshe didn't finish it off, so Klal Yisrael, they finished off, they kind of get the credit, okay,
right.
So far so good, okay, and then the Gemara finishes off there, and it also talks about, you know, his local family of Yosef as well, right. You know, and their role, but basically what it finishes off is it kind of tries to explain why it ended up kind of being Moshe Rabbeinu and then Klal Yisrael, yeah?
Right.
And it basically says, why Moshe Rabbeinu? Because, you know, they came to a kind of a cheshbon, right? That the family of Yosef, first of all, said, well, better to have many deal with it and not a small amount. And then Klal Yisrael came to a cheshbon and said, it's better to have the Gedolim deal with it and you know, who's the Gadol? That's Moshe Rabbeinu. Mm-hmm. Now, the obvious question is, what do you mean? Didn't, according to what I've just said, it doesn't kind of, when you put everything together, it doesn't kind of fit, yeah? Because it sounds like Klal Yisrael on purpose kind of left it to Moshe Rabbeinu, right? That's the cheshbon. At the end, they say, oh, better to let the Gedolim. Mm-hmm. But reality is, right at the beginning, we've just said, they got criticized because they were busy with the plunder, right? And Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who, Hacham Lev, who took mitzvahs. So was this a conscious decision to let Moshe Rabbeinu deal with it? Or was it, no, they were busy, you know, and then afterwards they said, oh, no, let the Gedolim deal with it, you know, thank you very much. You know, you were busy collecting your money, right? So that was kind of...
Right.
Let's kind of bring out the question a bit here, yeah? So Marsha again deals with this, yeah? So he says, this is number four, right? V'yesh loma, right? Mi'ikara b'mitzrayim dichtiv v'yikach Moshe. V'adai sh'yesh lo mashalo nisasku bo kol Yisrael l'fish nisasku b'biza. So obviously in the first stage, that's right, yeah? The reason why Klal Yisrael didn't deal with it right at the beginning was they were busy with the plunder, yeah? And that's the reason. Aval osa mem shanim, right? Shaya Moshe misasek bo. But what about the rest of the 40 years? Right? So, okay, they were busy with the plunder, the clergy were busy plundering Egypt, but once they came out, yeah, who's looking after the coffin of Yosef for the rest of the 40 years? It was basically Moshe Rabbeinu. We know that's why he was in the center, yeah? Kadaminan Gami Beis Aronis, right? As we've just said, yeah, there was two coffins, so to speak, two Aarons in coffins, two Aarons in the center, yeah. Delohai Hayasham Biza, right? And now at that stage, the rest of the 40 years, there was no plunder, right? So you say, well, what are Klal Yisrael doing? So Tikshe Le Shapir, right? And that's why now we ask, V'chi Yisrael Lo Hayu Misaske Beid. At that stage, why weren't Klal Yisrael getting involved, right? Now, even more so, we see Ha'achakach Hitasku Bei the Kavaruhu Mishchem. It was Klal Yisrael who later on did get involved, and later on they were the ones to bury him in Shechem. That's where the question is coming from. We see at the end of the day, it wasn't as if they kind of decided, you know, not to be involved at all. Yeah, they actually finished off the mitzvah by burying him in Shechem. So once we see that, yeah, now we go back and ask the question, and we say, well, wait a sec, yeah. For the first part we understand that was their fault. They decided to be with the Biza. But the rest of the time, we see they were interested in being involved with Yosef. Why didn't they get involved with Yosef? Yeah, why did they leave it to Moshe Rabbeinu? Mishane, right? And we answer Hatam Taima Achwina Ika. Yeah, in Achanami. For the rest of the 40 years, there was another reason. Yeah, Tehinichu Lo Kavoda BeGadolim B'Chuli, because they wanted to leave it with Moshe Rabbeinu, who was the Gadol. Came under Kabar Nisachsek by Moshe Bilchud, i.e., because Moshe Rabbeinu started off things. Yeah, right. It's kind of like this is so. It's not just leave it with the Gadolim. It's because Moshe Rabbeinu had started the mitzvah, and you know, so the Gadol was already involved with it. The Hainu Gedolim Hinichulo, Kach
Gedolim.
Right?
That's
the Lashon, right? Yeah, so leave it with the Gedolim. Once you see the Gadol has chucked something, a mitzvah,
right,
you know, Bechavad a Gadol, leave it with the Gadol. Yeah? Umihu Ilohayu Misasek Bei Moshe Bilchud Meikara, but had Moshe Rabbeinu not been the one to kind of be involved with it on his own from the start, but that would have never been enough of a reason, or just because Moshe is the Gadol, not the Klal Yisrael themselves, not to be involved, right? Meikara Ilav Mishum Biza Kedamran Leel. So that's kind of how it plays out a bit.
Right.
A little bit complicated, but Baruch Hashem, I think it's a very nice way to fit together the different pieces.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm. Right. So this is the just two more here. I think we've got time. Yeah, yeah. Two more. Yeah. So the next one it says, right, number five here. It says, I just read the Hebrew here. So kol ha'osin davar v'lo gamru. Right. So if you start a mitzvah and you don't finish it, yeah. So there are different things that said about that. But one of the things we're saying is Rabbi Elezer Omer, Af Meridim Osomer Gedulasa. That's the first thing, B'chuli. And then later we say Af Kove Ishto Ubanov. Yeah. So there's two things, right? One is that, and we see this by Yehuda, right? One is that you get drawn down from your greatness, demoted, exactly, yeah. And the other one is that unfortunately you might have to bury your wife and your children, yeah. So the question I kind of wanted to address here is, why are those two specific things, yeah, for someone who doesn't finish off a mitzvah? You get kind of demoted from your greatness,
right,
and you have to bury your wife and your children. Mm-hmm. You know, you could imagine lots of kind of negative things maybe for someone who doesn't get involved in finishing a mitzvah. Why dafka those mm-hmm. kind of two things? So the Maharal actually addresses this, yeah? So let's have a look. That's number five. So he says, Ubiu davaza. Right, the explanation for this is, Ki kasher matchil b'mitzvah, really gmor ha-mitzvah. Yeah? If you start a mitzvah, really, it's obviously, we expect, it's fitting to finish the mitzvah. Vim eina gomer ha-mitzvah, right? And if you don't finish the mitzvah, davar zenit kro yirida, because you've started up doing a mitzvah, yeah? And once you've started on a high, if you don't finish it, the memela, you're coming down. Anything that goes up comes down, so to speak,
right.
Yeah? So if you're on the way up and then you just kind of stop, you don't kind of stay on a plateau, you fall down, yeah? Well, the kach, and therefore, correspondingly, moridim osem gdulaso, yeah? Right? Because you're dropping, because you've kind of, you haven't gone up, you've just now left it, you've dropped it, and therefore you fall down. So you correspondingly, someone goes down from his stature. Well, the Ma'an Dama, and the one who holds Ishto Ubanav Mesim, Perush, this is the explanation. Ki Ishto Ubanav Haim, right, La Adam, it should say, right, Hishlamuso Kashe Yadua. That a person, right, their wife and their children represents, yeah, their completion. Yeah, there's many ideas in Yiddishkeit right? About a wife being kind of, you know, the way in which a person becomes complete, yeah? And so here he's saying wife and also one's children, yeah? That represents the ultimate kind of completion, fulfillment in a certain sense, yeah, of a person, yeah? Ki misha ein lo isha, ein adam, eino adam shalem, yeah? Yeah, and therefore, what's corresponding here is someone who decides, you know, they start a mitzvah, but they're not going to complete it. They're not going to finish it. Yeah, so therefore, correspondingly, they on a personal level, they lose on their completion of them as an individual, and that's why chas v'sholem it could lead to someone losing their wife and children. They represent the completion of a person. Okay, and last answer. So I had to throw this in because I was kind of slightly bothered by it. But so we say on Lagabe Moshe Rabbeinu, yeah, we say that the pasuk says, yeah, that actually just read the kind of should we read the pasuk inside, yeah, because it's quite important here, yeah. Mm-hmm. So if you look at Yud Gimel Amud Beis, yeah, just mm-hmm. I've got it on Yud Aleph. Yeah, you got the same. Yeah, come on. So let's look at this pasuk inside. This is quite a nice little thing.
Yud
Aleph at the bottom, right. Yeah. Can you see Yud Aleph? I'm just want to read the whole pasuk inside, yeah. Because it's kind of quite important.
You give
me a base. You give me a base.
First one line.
Yeah, and the first one line, you'd Aleph.
Yeah, possibly.
Yeah.
You'd Aleph.
You'd Aleph.
Sorry, it's a bit small. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it says, Vayeme Aleham.
You'd Aleph. I've got different print. Mine's an older one.
I'm sorry.
Another version. It's a little bit different.
Okay.
Position.
But Vayomer Alehem ben Me'av Esrim Shana Nochi, right?
Right.
So Moshe Rabbeinu said, yeah, I am, right, 120 years Hayom, on today, right? Lo uchal od, that's Esu Lavo, and I'm not able now to go and to come, right?
Right.
And now let's, and this is important, I want to see the continuation. But Hashem Amar Eli, and Hashem said to me, right, Lo Tavo Es HaYarden Hazeh, you should not cross the river, right. Yeah, the Jordan, yeah. So now the Gemara wants to know what does it mean that he's not able to come and go. And the first right. point that Gemara brings out is,
pardon? That seems to be obvious on the pasuk.
It's what?
Seems to be obvious on the pasuk. The pasuk says, right?
Okay. So this is kind of what I'm trying to bring out, yeah. But I'm just pointing out the first point is that the Gemara right. says, yeah, that it can't be physically, yeah, he can't come and go because right. he's got all his physical thing about it. So what is it, yeah? So Rashi, yeah, on the Chumash, yeah, he says, well, I tell you what it means, yeah. As Gil said, yeah, it's continuation of the pasuk says, yeah. But Hashem Amar Eli, he says, I can't come and go because Hashem. Say, I'm adding a word here, cheeky. Right. Because Hashem said to me, yeah, Lo tavo es yarden hazeh, don't cross the Yarden. So I can't come and go because Hashem said, sorry, can't go into Eretz Yisrael, yeah. And that's how Rashi explains it. But I'm saying it's not coming from that. It's coming from the pasuk. Yeah?
Right.
So the question is, well, Rashi obviously is different from our Gemara, that basically says it's a bad if he couldn't, you know, he lost his ability in Chochmah and Torah and, you know, right at the end, yeah? So what was it then? Why don't we kind of follow what seemingly maybe that is alluded to in the Pasuk itself? Yeah, that's the question, yeah? So the Maharsha deals with this, yeah? And he says, V'lo nira lehem, this is number six, the last one, last line, V'lo nira lehem lefaresh lo uchal eini rashai, that it's you're not permitted, yeah. The fee because Shashem Amar Eli Lo Tavor. I underline the word lefi because you know just to bring this out. Why? Shalom Atzinu Vav B'Makom Lefi. Because really, what we're bothered by is it doesn't say because, as I said, yeah. As I tried to throw in, it says and va and Hashem said to me. And often is telling you it's a different thing, yeah. Right. I can't come and go. Number one, and Hashem said to me, I'm not allowed. Right. So because right. he's pointing out, because it doesn't say because ki or the fi, yeah, lashon of linking it, yeah, right. rather it says va and, yeah, that's right. why the drasha right. here wants right. to try to say it's a different reason and not kind of go with the reason that Rashi himself does say in Chumash.
Right.
Oh,
yeah.
Even though Rashi is a little hard to understand, if he's just going in, it should be lavo.
Yeah, great question. Yeah, I hear. Yeah. Shkoyach, hi. Okay.
Great thing. Yeah, there's only one. So that's the answer you sort of answered.
Sorry. Yeah.
Here's the question. Here's the paper over there. Shkoyach, Israel.
Have a great day, Gil.
Shkoyach. Okay.
Does anyone remember Gilgamesh?